This is the Midday 180.
Delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski. On 104.5 The Zone.
Just like that, the second hour is here. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Tennessee still planning on playing Vanderbilt on Saturday. That's the latest.
Everybody continues to plan on doing things until they don't. They no longer plan on.
I wish Vandy would stop having COVID issues right before the Tennessee game. It's happened in football. It's happened in the big week of basketball, Vandy versus Tennessee. The COVID issues keep popping up right before Vandy plays the Vols. Need that to stop. Need the COVID issues to stop, too, but especially right before they play Tennessee.
Yes. Urban Meyer reportedly going to Jacksonville to be their new head coach. Arthur Smith has been interviewed in person. I'm surprised with how many. NFL Network says he was in Atlanta. He then went to New Jersey for the Jets yesterday. The Jets have now tweeted out this morning that they've completed their second interview with Arthur.
And he may be going to Philly from there.
Well, he interviewed in person with Philly in Florida.
Oh.
Last night.
I love those interviews with a team. I wonder if it's COVID related. Because otherwise, when you're not trying to get back to a game or do your job, it always seems to me like it would make sense to be at the facility. Or in the city, at least. But I don't know what the reason is. I want to be at the facility.
If I'm one of those coaches, if I'm Arthur Smith and I'm getting an opportunity to be a head coach in the National Football League, or you're one of these guys who go and interview for a big college job, I just hate that the interview has to take place in a boardroom in an airport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's you're romanticizing it, but you've got some sort of suite at a nice hotel in the city you're going to be living in. You're
pitcher
going up to the top
the
floor.
Table.
You know, they've got a security guard getting you to the elevator going up, and you're in this big almost dining room setting where they're interviewing. You're going to the owner's house for an interview, not just some bland airport hotel conference room or airport conference room.
I agree, but I will say in the league,
that's where it usually happens,
in
especially
the league,
for college.
Not just for, I'm surprised it's going that way for coaches to a degree. Player-wise, this idea of visiting, it's gone away. Big free agents at the beginning, they don't know. I mean, if they haven't been to Nashville, if they haven't been to Metro Center, they're not paying any attention. Maybe there's some kind of PowerPoint presentation center. It seems to not matter a lick, Hutt. It's, and people always ask, oh, what about this? What about that? It's the money. It's the money. Maybe there's a touch of geography in there. Maybe there's a touch of coach connection or previous relationships. It's the money. They don't care what the Titans facility is like. I mean, maybe the Bengals suffer a touch because it's known they have the worst facility, right?
Well, if you have multiple offers, it's about all that.
Yeah, and maybe the absolute best facility in the league gets a benefit, you know. But maybe the extreme ends are affected somehow. But if the Titans sign a free agent at 12:01 or 4:01, whatever time it is, you think those things factored in? You know, in the build up, the agent knows what the agent needs to know about that stuff, and it's been discussed. Yeah. But clearly, it's not so important like it is for me or you if we're moving that we want to see the city or the neighborhood or the schools or any of that stuff. It's just not that. It's not that.
So, by my count, Arthur Smith has had 3 in person second interviews and 1 in person first interview last night with the Eagles in Florida. He's the hottest coaching candidate out there.
Who are the doubles?
That's how I...
Atlanta,
Detroit, and the Jets. Yep. And he's the hottest coaching candidate right now.
I think
because
he's
telling everyone, I'm not making my mind up until I chat with everybody.
Yeah.
You don't do that unless you know you have multiple offers.
Out of those three...
Who is his agent? Do we know?
We don't know. I don't know. Out of those three, Atlanta's the best, I think.
Sure
Blank is stable, right? Ryan bridges you to what's next. Yeah. I think you have regular draft picks.
What about Philly with Wentz?
I mean, I certainly think part of the reason they're interested in him is because they believe that he would be able to rehabilitate somebody like Wentz.
I'm interested in Philly and the Jets. Just with the second pick.
Like, is it bad of me to assume that Arthur Smith has success with Carson Wentz but not with Jalen Hurts? I'm basing that solely off of style of play.
Well, I think he would have – I mean,
that's unfair to him because –
that you can work with the one while you fix the other. Well, so you've got
– Yeah, but me, it's him working with Carson Wentz immediately, and they go out and do what they did with Tannehill. Like,
yeah, that's you saying Wentz is more Tannehill than Hurts is Tannehill.
Yes.
Sure.
I think
we all agree, like McClain's been saying, he's going to – you know, people tell you hey, – well, if you get Arthur Smith, you're going to get a guy who runs the ball. Well, Arthur Smith ran the ball because of what they have here, and I think we all think Arthur Smith is bright and can use whatever personnel he's given. So I think if he's in a situation where Jalen Hurts is the best quarterback option for him, be it permanently or for a time as he repairs Wentz, that he could run an offense that Jalen Hurts could work with.
But I'm with you on Atlanta.
Yeah, I think the Jets are just so toxic that given a choice, I'd rather be somewhere else.
The Jets?
Yeah.
I'm interested in his staff also and what that looks like. For a guy that spent so much time in one place.
I said yesterday, I think in the interviews, the staff that he can put together will impress a lot of ownership because of all of his connections with all of the different staffs, not just here. Right. And there's been some bad coaches that have come through here. I'm not saying every coach is a great candidate for Arthur Smith. But, you know, the great example that I gave in the past and what I keep reminding people was Joe Gibbs coming up to us on Radio Row at the Super Bowl. And he's there promoting Joe Gibbs Racing. And he sees Nashville. And we already had him booked. But he stopped by 30 minutes before he was scheduled to come on with us, and he asked me to take my headset off. I took my headset off, talking with Joe Gibbs, and he says, open your interview with me. Ask me about Arthur Smith, please.
Yeah.
And I said, no problem. So we spent the entire chat talking about Arthur Smith from Joe Gibbs.
Regarding the staff.
4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Right? This was right as he was named offensive coordinator.
So here's the thing I think about the staff. Right. It's not necessarily friends. It's friends of friends. Right. He knows a ton of people. No. He's not necessarily hiring those people. He's hiring people that those people tell him are good. And that's the next best thing. Right. You can't necessarily hire people you've worked with. They're not accessible to you or available. But he knows a ton of people and they can tell him, hey, this guy would be really good for running backs for you. This guy can, you know, if you're running zone or offensive line, this guy would be a great, these two guys would be the two guys I'd look at for zone offensive line.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And these are conversations he's had. This is the depth chart of coaching staffs that he already has. Friends of friends. Recommendations from friends.
We threw the question out yesterday on Twitter, Titans fans, who is harder to replace, Arthur Smith or Dean Pease? Over 700 votes in. Dean Pease, 66% of the vote.
I think this is
harder to replace.
Skewed by people having seen the difficulty of replacing Dean Pease, the failures in replacing Dean Pease. I think it will be harder to replace Arthur Smith. I also think people don't want to imagine that being the case because they've already seen the difficulty of replacing Dean Pease. They botched replacing Dean Pease.
I don't think it's harder because the pieces are in place on offense. I think it's the personnel issues the biggest difference. I think Arthur Smith did a great job. I think they can hire an offensive coordinator to still be very good on offense because of Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, A.J. Brown, Taylor Lewan coming back healthy, and some different pieces on offense. I think Dean Pease was hard to replace because there's not a ton of defensive coordinators that get more out of less like Dean Pease did. And whoever the defensive coordinator is has to get more out of less and not less out of less like Shane Bowen did.
You still have to scheme very precisely to maximize these guys and to are you going to come in and be willing
I'm not saying
to
it's easy.
Mirror what Art Smith did instead of say, I'm going to, I don't know. It's complicated.
Let me put it this way, Paul. I think there are more coaches out there who can come in after Arthur Smith and have a lot of success with this offense and this personnel that's in place then there are a talent pool of defensive coordinator candidates that can come in and do what Dean Pease did with this defense. Does that make sense?
All right.
I think the pool is smaller.
All right. Are we asking about replacing Dean Pease last year? Are we asking about kind of replacing him going forward?
I think just in general. I mean, I think it's replacing him going forward and this last year.
Well,
just the loss of Dean Pease that's been felt now with this team.
And then this spins off to another thing.
Scoring, Paul, last year, they allowed 20 points per game.
Yeah.
This year, they allowed 27.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The touchdown difference is ridiculous. And then you get into another question here. Say he hires a good offensive coordinator, it's good again. You're 2 years away from that coordinator leaving. It's a vicious cycle. And that's why I think Vrabel's a good coach and was a good hire. But nowadays, a lot of these teams that are looking at hiring right now, if you like Saleh and Smith and they're close, you should hire Smith. You should have an offensive head coach, because offensive coordinators who are good are going to be in the head coaching pool quicker.
You hire, by the way, Steve Sarkisian is just gutting Nick Saban's staff right now. He's bringing the special teams coordinator along with the offensive line coach with some others to Texas with him on his staff. I just saw the report from Bruce.
I mean, are they all free to leave, or Saban?
I mean, coaches can do in college, can do whatever they want, whenever they want. It's not an NFL
contracts
type deal.
Don't hold?
No. They coaches leave whenever they want if they get a better opportunity. You hire a defensive-minded head coach in part to fix a defense and to have a defensive philosophy. This is where Mike Vrabel is losing me a little bit.
Right.
I'm not worried about recycling good offensive coordinators every 2 years. If that's happening, the Titans should be contending for Super Bowls, because their defensive-minded head coach should have the defense in place. This is like Sean McVay. Right now it's flipped, and the Rams are a defensive team, and he's an offensive-minded head coach.
Brian Billick.
So Sean McVay is an offensive-minded head coach, should fix the offense. And when you hire a good defensive coordinator, great. That's a good thing. So Mike Vrabel's one for one, I guess two for two, really, when you count LaFleur and his success as a head coach now, at finding offensive coordinators. I'm not worried about Mike Vrabel's ability to hire an offensive coordinator. I'm increasingly more concerned about Mike Vrabel's inability to fix this defense minus Dean Pease.
See, I'm worried about both, because I think he's got to go outside, and he sent such a strong signal last year about he doesn't want to go outside. He needs to go outside. If he shows us he's going outside, I'm cool. If he's all about inside, not just inside, and Arthur Smith was the right hire, I'm not saying that, but he doesn't have other Arthur Smiths sitting around as far as we know. And so I want him outside the Texans bubble. I want him outside the Ohio State bubble. Those bubbles only have so many people in them.
Well, the
and a lot of them are under contract.
Todd Downing is the one that comes to mind in-house, right?
He had 1 year with the Raiders, and it didn't create great demand for his service.
I'm not as big on the it's smarter to have an offensive-minded head coach, because you can still go out and have a top offense in the NFL and have a defensive-minded head coach. If you're losing your coach, that means you're at the top of the league of what you do.
Right, but Florio, who you know I can't stand, raises it, and I think it's a good point. Arthur Blank had a choice between Dan Quinn and Kyle Shanahan. If he hired Kyle Shanahan, he'd be set for life now. He hired Dan Quinn. If you're given that choice, which I'm saying, Saleh versus Smith, I think you'd lean towards the offensive guy in today's game.
But you can still be Mike Tomlin, Bill Belichick, McDermott.
All very good.
Pete Carroll.
All very good. But Buffalo's going to lose their offensive coordinator after this is over. And you hope they run it smoothly and whatever, but you're always at risk, right? Allen is very good with Daboll.
Yeah.
But is the next guy going to be able to do the same thing? Have you raised that guy in-house? That's a tough question, and that's risky. Because Allen is the key to that whole damn thing. And if the next guy isn't same level, you know, it's the nature of the league, all that, I get it. But ideally, where do you want the consistency most for that quarterback?
Titans did okay when they lost Matt LaFleur.
They did. They did. They got better.
So.
But do you want to keep turning it? You
I want to keep hiring good offensive coordinators, and if the byproduct of that is them getting head jobs, so be it.
You know how many coaches, and this is just going to a college example, but you can still have a solid head coach and win at a high level. How many coaches were on Nick Saban's staff this year and that were on his staff in 2017, the last time they won a title?
Oh, I'm sure he churns like crazy. Yeah, he churns like crazy.
One coach.
But you're talking Saban. I mean, Belichick, same thing.
I'm totally fine having expectations of being the organization that people look to for good assistant head coaches.
Yeah. Now
to bring in for candidates.
Saban can attract
that
Bill,
is a culture
Bill O'Brien well,
I, that you're building.
I agree.
Right.
But look at the defensive staff like I wrote about the other.
I know.
Who's coming for Jim Haslett right now?
Who's coming
for Anthony Midgett?
Well, the flip side of that is LSU and Ed Orgeron. They won a national title with Joe Brady at offensive coordinator, Dave Aranda at defensive coordinator, and 1 year later, they're bad because of Bo Pelini and a new offensive coordinator, and they can't Nick Saban it together. The difference
and
with
Joe
Alabama
Brady's
is
an NFL head
well,
coach.
Here's the problem: Nick Saban loses Lane Kiffin and elevates an analyst that happens to be Steve Sarkisian, who's a two-time college head coach. Then he goes and hires Bill O'Brien to be his next offensive coordinator. So Saban's a tricky example because the best coaches in America
are dying to work.
When they failed as a head coach, will just go to him and be a coordinator.
It's a rehab
center. Can constantly play.
Continuity doesn't matter to him.
He's Betty Ford.
Well, continuity doesn't matter as long as Saban is the continuity.
Right.
Because Saban's going to continue to attract the best coaches in America, and no one else can compete with that. No other program can have Butch Jones, Steve Sarkisian, go down the list of analysts, of interns on a staff, the way Nick Saban can produce former head coaches to come and work for him.
Shockingly, he's created the best system for that, like he's created the best system for everything else. Shockingly.
And you know, I'm totally fine with the expectation being go find the next Arthur Smith.
I am too, but I'd like to get to the point where we've seen it happen. I mean, Robinson was key in getting LaFleur, right, who was a head coaching candidate. And Smith fell in your lap because he's been in the organization a lot. We haven't seen them really go out and get somebody. So this is the first big test in a different way.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Titans fans, it looks like Arthur Smith is gone somewhere. We just don't know where yet.
He doesn't get a job now.
Your thoughts on that and what that means? 615-737-1045, 737-1045.
Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue to the phones. Alvin, what's up?
How y'all doing?
Doing well.
Great, man.
I got three things I'll make real quick. You know, my thing is about him leaving. You know, I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, that's just like you guys. I sit there, you know, if ESPN call up, I'm pretty sure y'all gonna, you know, you're gonna jump out on it. You know what I'm saying? The second thing with him, as far as he can't expand his offense, I mean, look at LaFleur. He expanded his offense. I mean, we're a run first offense, so, I mean, you just got to kind of do what the coach said, kind of like, you know, Nick Saban, run first offense, you know. And the last thing, I think they should look at Hugh Jackson and Pip Hamilton for offense coordinator. That's it.
Pass and pass.
Where is Pep Hamilton right now? Pep Hamilton's a guy who's got a really good agent and really good relationships.
Last I heard, he was in that he was in one of those minor league pro team deals. I don't know if it's XFL.
Pep Hamilton coordinate Andrew Luck poorly?
Pep Hamilton is the quarterbacks coach for the Chargers.
There you go.
So he's riding a pretty good young quarterback.
But he's jobless right now is what that means.
Yeah. But Pep Hamilton's one of those guys that media members always tout. I feel like he's got really good relationships in media. I saw a tweet the other day that was talking about a college opening, saying if they don't look at Pep Hamilton for this spot, they're doing a disservice
to their
school.
I saw that, too.
Wasn't he mentioned at Vandy whenever Derek Mason got the job?
I saw him mentioned at least once.
He may have been interviewed at Vandy when that happened.
Chuck, welcome.
Hey, guys. I don't see Brable going outside the organization on OC. He's kind of the Belichick model of you know, stay within. So I think Pat O'Hara will be maybe a candidate or one of the guys within. He maybe go outside D.C. if it's somebody he really likes or knows. But I just don't see him going outside the organization. He's too much like Belichick on that.
Well, I don't know why you automatically go to Pat O'Hara. I think it's more likely to be Todd Downing.
And Hutton, you're right. From 2014, this is a Pro Football Talk article. Pep Hamilton sticking with Colts after Vanderbilt interview. So he, in fact, interviewed at Vanderbilt for the head coaching job.
He's moved around a lot, I feel like.
I don't know enough about him to immediately dismiss it as an offensive coordinator possibility.
I think it's important to – I think the framework of what people are expecting is correct, where Vrabel's going to go with what he knows. That doesn't mean they're on his current staff. He interviewed Ryan Day to be the offensive coordinator here.
Doesn't every coach go with what he knows to some extent?
Well, but, oh, yeah, but we're discussing going outside the box for defense. I don't see that happening. I see that him going within the structure of who he's worked with and who he's played with.
Also, isn't it mandated now that he has to interview minorities for coordinator positions? I believe the Rooney Rule now extends to coordinators. Am I wrong?
I honestly don't know.
I'll look that up.
Well, Pep Hamilton and Hugh Jackson would fit the bill there for offensive coordinator.
I think Hugh Jackson's gone.
I just don't. To me, offensive coordinator, this is what's odd about the current Titans setup. Offensive coordinator should be the most intriguing and most important hire. Because the defense should be set with Mike Vrabel. We shouldn't be talking about who the defensive coordinator is because the defense should be a direct reflection of Mike Vrabel. But the defense is such a problem, I'm more concerned with what the Titans do at defensive coordinator moving forward and fixing the defense than whoever they hired offensive coordinator. If they promote someone who is working under Arthur Smith, I'm fine with that because I think the odds are you can continue having a good offense a lot quicker than you can fix the defense.
I mean, Arthur Smith's a good example, though. He didn't know Arthur Smith before he took the job. Vrabel.
He clearly got some good recommendations from Arthur Smith, the people that he knows and trusts.
But, I mean, he didn't know. I'm trying to think of the others, Paul. He didn't work with Downing prior to working with him on the staff.
He hired Downing from the outside, and I don't know that they knew each other at any rate. That's a good example.
Rob Moore. Yeah. But the ones that we point to for successes are also ones he knew. I mean,
Holmes, he knew. That was a big one. Pease, he knew.
Yes.
That was a big one.
And Pat O'Hara is another one that he knew.
Yeah.
And there's Bowen. Strength coach.
Well, here's my point for people. Brian Schottenheimer is a name that's kind of people have been throwing out there. I've seen on Titans Twitter. Typically, coaches go with someone they have some sort of relationship with, even if it's through a coaching friend or someone they've worked with.
Yes.
Getting a good recommendation. I'm not expecting Mike Vrabel to go hire a high school coach that he watched this year, that he likes the way he runs his offense, or someone in Oregon in Division II running something crazy that he's got no connection to. He's going to hire either someone he's worked with before or someone that he works with or has worked with before that is a recommendation.
Also, this will be slow and deliberate. Even if he winds up promoting Downing, when he wound up promoting Smith, it took forever. Slow and deliberate. And odds of us finding out the names, low. They don't deal much with the national media. We don't know who he talked to. I'm convinced he talked to at least a couple people when he hired Arthur Smith, or that's what I was led to believe. Who they were? Well,
these assistant coaches have agents. There's ways to find out who he's talking to.
Okay, but when he hired Arthur Smith, I believe he talked to other people. We do not know who those people were.
Well, then those agents actually kept something quiet for once.
I know.
Good for them. That's rare.
But it's Belichick.
It's rare for agents not to talk.
615-737-1045. Our number 737-1045. If you would like to jump in and join the discussion.
I'm reading something from March that has an excerpt from a rule adjustment, I guess. For the first time, clubs must interview a minority candidate for any offensive, defensive, or special teams coordinator position. So that's an expansion of the Rooney Rule.
Am I crazy, though, to think that Arthur Smith, as great as he was, and he's the hottest coaching commodity for an NFL head coaching vacancy out there, it's going to be easier to find a replacement for Arthur Smith because of the personnel and offense that's going to be productive?
No.
The defense is the issue.
Easier to get somebody?
I think there are more coaching candidates out there the Titans could hire or even promote that can do a satisfactory – are they going to do the exact same as Arthur Smith? Probably not. But they can do a satisfactory job to where the offense isn't going to be an issue for the Titans. There's a lot of coaches out there who could do that.
There are a lot of coaches that could botch it.
It's hard not to envision the trio that they have
excelling under virtually anything.
Yes, yes.
You'd really have to screw that up.
I mean,
what would you have said a year ago about what Dean Pease?
We said all offseason, are we undervaluing the loss of Dean Pease? Are we talking enough about the loss of Dean Pease? Clearly, we weren't talking enough about the loss of Dean Pease because the assumption was your defensive-minded head coach could figure it out. What we've learned is that the head coach is a really bad defensive coordinator. He's proven that in his 1 year as defensive coordinator with the Texans, where they were terrible. And he's proven that again when he's got his hands all over the defense with his puppet, Shane Bowen, serving as a de facto defensive coordinator, non-defensive coordinator, because they won't give him the title.
What is it with Titans fans and the appeal of Schottenheimer right now? Is it the name recognition? I mean, that offense went south. It was great for 6 or 8 weeks. It tanked.
Oh, that's why he's fired.
I know. And now everybody's like, what about Schottenheimer? Is Vrabel connected to Schottenheimer in any way, shape, or form? Is that a name recognition thing? I would think there are better candidates than Brian Schottenheimer.
Well, he was getting mentioned in Houston prior to him being fired as an interview candidate for their head coaching position.
Well, we know how well Houston's doing with their. You think he's Deshaun Watson approved?
Deshaun Watson?
You think Deshaun Watson's got Schottenheimer on his list?
I mean, yesterday you were saying that it didn't matter.
Well, I don't think it matters, but I'm saying, do you think he's somebody that he's excited about?
No, it sounds like it's Eric Bieniemy or bust.
By the way, Bieniemy, who everybody was sure was going to get a job this year, we're talking about Saleh and Smith. Bieniemy's name is not out there on the level that we would.
He's still coaching.
Yeah, they really need to alter the rules that enable a guy who's still coaching not to suffer the consequences for it. But still, you could get his name out there if you're interested in him.
A name someone just brought up on Twitter for offensive coordinator for the Titans, Tim Kelly of the Texans, who worked with Vrabel with the Texans, came over with Bill O'Brien from Penn State.
That's a good thought.
He was offensive coordinator in 2019 and 2020. That offense certainly looked good against the Titans with Deshaun Watson at quarterback.
Well, you said two magic words related to that, Houston Texans.
Yep, and Tim Kelly came to Houston from Penn State, served as graduate assistant under Bill O'Brien.
He's Dennis Kelly's brother.
That would be cool.
Wow.
More bad news for Isaiah Wilson.
I just had the startled man face when Hutton said that. Oh.
Yeah. Did we know that before this year? Like, going into the first, it might have even been the second Texans game where, like, Wyatt took a picture of them together.
I feel like we featured something. I don't know. Maybe
not. It was
not.
Very low key.
Yeah.
It was very low key. That would not do anything to help Isaiah Wilson if Tim Kelly.
The man looks – so Dennis Kelly, the Undertaker nickname.
Yeah.
Tim Kelly has the scary eyes. His eyes are so blue, you're almost see-through.
Not
crazy eyes.
He sees ghosts? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. You mean hallucinogenic eye? I'm not talking about acid
eyes. Categorize the eyes. Acid eyes.
No, it's
someone
crazy
please tweet
eyes.
Us that image
it's,
of crazy eyes.
It's like crazy eye killer.
Scary crystal blue eye color.
Like left eye Lopez.
Let's get every eye we can. Think of it. Tweet us any crazy eye nickname-ish kind of thing.
Lisa left eye Lopez.
That was great. I love crazy eye killer.
I love the idea of Lisa left eye Lopez as an offensive coordinator where she only runs to the right. Get it?
All right, Twitter, do your thing.
They're 90% thrown to the right this year.
I try to put myself inside the Jets organization.
That was a dad joke.
Imagine being inside the Jets organization after this thorough search, right? Our new head coach is Adam Gase. Man, he just blew us away in these interviews. And then you come down to the press conference, and he's like staring at just floating dust in the air.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Dancing around like, you know, he's following some light like a dog on the floor.
Yeah, it was the single, like there's a laser pointer that we can't see that he's following around the room. It was the single worst. You came in the next day. You're like, did you see this press conference? It was the single worst press conference in the history of coaching interviews.
He was terrible in his introductory press conference in Miami and then goes on to do this.
Double down.
Like he's off his meds or something. Like it
almost looked like this.
He's like, I'm going to top that Miami one. Wait, watch. It's like his friends dared him. Hey, do worse than you did in Miami. And he's like, okay. How much?
I did it. Pay me.
It's like an old school thing.
Right after he's done.
Pay me. That's how you do it. That's how you do a bad press conference.
So worst case scenario, it's some sort of hardcore drug he took right before a press conference being named NFL head coach. Best case scenario
and it
to
hit
me.
Hard right as
and
he took
you're a,
the podium.
Timed it up perfect. You're a fan of Bang, Cola, and things like this.
Yeah.
Right? Energy drinks. C4. Best case scenario is he had like four Red Bulls. And you know how people get jittery? His eyes got jittery. Yeah. It's like his head and face and eyes got jittery instead of his hands.
It's
because
the visual,
he chugged too many
it's
energy
the visual
drinks.
Of someone getting their wings.
I think. I'm talking about how Saban didn't look at the notebook that the PR gave him. This felt like Gase like tried to memorize the whole thing that the PR guy gave him, and he got like panicked. Oh my God, I can't remember. What was on that yellow notebook? What was on that yellow notebook? As opposed to Saban being like, yeah, here's your yellow notebook.
Okay, so getting back to the original thought, I'm going to show you Tim Kelly's eyes during this break. Looks like he wears eyeliner, and his eyes are so blue you can't look away from them, and
like,
they're frightening.
Is it like looking into the ocean?
It's like a. It's almost like contact lenses.
He looks like the actor that was in Lost and Morning Show. That's the weatherman who looks like he has permanent eyeliner on, but he doesn't.
I love Dennis.
Nestor Carbonell. Oh,
I thought he's giving me Kelly, and he's giving me Gase. And he's got Gase
Hutton
with a flying
a laptop,
taco in front of
Paul
him that he's following.
He's chasing.
This is one of Hutton's absolute favorite things. He's following a flying
look
taco.
Look at that guy. That guy interviewed well. How did he interview well?
I would have gone up to the podium if I was one of the Johnson. I'd be like, I'm sorry, we made a terrible mistake.
There are so many people in positions, and you see them, they act a certain way at press conferences, and you think, how did he interview well in a setting with people that are entrusting this person with their business, their future, and their organization?
It's inconceivable. That he could be that you
could
be that.
How can you
bad.
Hire an idiot?
How
like
could
that,
you
that's
be,
what I'm asking.
Right. Like, how could you perform
people do it every
well?
Day.
How could you perform well to get hired and be that bad in that setting when that's a big part of your job? You're the face of the organization. The face of the organization. The face of the organization has eyes that are wandering around the room. Okay, we like this part of the face, the eyes down and the eyes up. But
your
we need to slice out this
needs
part.
A new face.
This part of the face. This eyes part of the face we can't have as part of the face of the organization. Oh. It's unsatisfactory.
Imagine
part of the face.
Thinking that guy's going to inspire confidence, right? Like that in a press conference, like this is what's really going to get our team together.
Well, we've talked about this before.
I would follow those crazy eyes into a burning building.
We've talked about how a blessing from one person can
we are
have
going to tear down the AFC
too
for this guy.
Much weight. Peyton Manning's blessing of this guy. Was a disservice to the NFL.
Does Peyton Manning dislike any coach?
I don't
know. Honest question, I don't know if Peyton Manning ever trashing anyone.
Spurrier.
Well, the guy he's loved every Tennessee head coach.
Yeah.
Gotten along with them, endorsed them. Like, I don't know that there's anyone he's like, you know, I don't really get along with that
guy. But think of the damage that Peyton Manning did to the Miami Dolphins and to the New York Jets. This guy destroyed the AFC East.
Well, it's probably time, and I love Peyton, to stop taking Peyton's word for a coach.
Yeah.
You know what? If I talk to Peyton about a coach,
hey, Peyton, I got a hold with a coaching recommendation. Oh, sorry, I'm not taking
coaching?
That call.
How about if it's you, then I'll listen. If you're the recommendation, you'll come coach, then we'll talk about that.
Otherwise, Peyton, I would say that if he called me. I'd be like, dude, you did recommend Adam Gase twice.
Some of these things people are sending us with Gase.
Slappy Fess sends one that says, me listening to Rick and Rich Talk. And it's a picture of Adam Gase.
Gase's face. Gase's eyes rolling back in his head.
Offensive guru.
Leader of men.
Fess also sends a picture of Willem Dafoe and his crazy eyes looking, and he says, "This is me hitting up the Titans Pro Shop and nabbing one of those won and not done t-shirts at half off."
They should have been like that. They should have immediately pivoted to make that like a publicity stunt and let him away in a straitjacket. Then like, okay, that's who we're not hiring.
This video now, will
be soon we'll introduce a guy the exact opposite of that.
Under you saying? Yes. It's unbelievable.
Oh. I miss you, Slappy Fest.
Oh my goodness.
We've missed you. So good. 615-737-1045, our number.
We need more Willem Dafoe movies too. Where's he been?
Willem Dafoe is terrific.
He's great.
Coming up, more of your phone calls. Luke and Alex, hang with us. Some good discussions coming that way with the offensive coordinator position plus defensive coordinator.
What did I ask for people to tweet us before we got sidetracked on Gase?
Famous eyes.
Favorite Willem Dafoe movie?
No, your favorite eye thing. Crazy Eye Killer, Lisa Left Eye Lopes. Any further ideas along those
lines?
One
Eye Willie.
One Eye Willie.
Betty Davis eyes.
All of that. We want all the eyes.
All of them.
Every time I think of Left Eye Lopez, I just think of her. Was it her that was burning down Andre Rison's house?
It was. Was it? Yeah, it was Lisa Left Eye.
I just remember behind the music of someone arsonist. Saying, "Lisa done burned down the house,"
and that was not figuratively speaking.
Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Imagine Adam Gase in a Zoom call, Paul. Trying to keep up with all the moving parts.
Oh, man. And they don't use video on their Zoom calls.
Where did all these colorful
like
boxes come from? Oh, my goodness. So much to see.
Yeah. Titans don't use video for the reporters on their Zoom calls, and I'm sure neither did Jets. That'd be a lot to take in.
Let's go to Luke. Luke, welcome.
I want an oral history of that press.
Thank you. I was just calling to see what y'all's opinions are of Doug Peterson that's coming to OC. Hang up and listen back.
I think
that'd be great.
Gets a head coaching job or takes a year off where he's paid to not coach. I don't know. Some guys, I just feel like it's too big a come down. It's 3 years removed from a Super Bowl head coaching job. Is he dying to be an offensive coordinator right now?
Coaches want to coach. It's whatever his best option is.
A year from now, he could be a hot head coaching prospect.
Go have one good year with a good offense with the Titans or someone else, and then you're right back in the head coaching cycle.
Oh, I'd take him for sure. I just don't know that you could get him.
He could also sit out a year and be right back in the head coaching cycle.
That's what I'm saying.
It would. I'm surprised we haven't seen his name pop up already.
Yeah, me too. It popped up quickly with the Jets, but then it doesn't seem to have much energy behind it. Another question I got about Jim Schwartz. Jim Schwartz, a hardcore 4-3 guy. Not dialed in with Vrabel and two big egos there. I can't see that happen.
The 4-3 attack is what. Doesn't jive well.
You're two different.
Gotta look at 3-4 guys.
Yeah.
Alex. Welcome, Alex.
During the middle of the season, I saw headlines, something about Dean Pease coming out of retirement. Do y'all think there's any chance that he comes out of retirement? And if he does, what do y'all think about it?
Well, he's a regular on our show weekly. You would have heard him discussing the idea of him coming out of retirement, which wasn't happening.
He said never say never.
He said never say never, but he wasn't coming out of retirement during the season. I would imagine that Mike Vrabel's ideal world, he'd get Dean Pease back. But I don't know. Dean sounded, I think he liked being asked about it. And he likes the idea of being back to a degree. But then I think if you picture the 17-week haul of it and the whole deal, it's maybe more than he wants.
I think he misses it. Terribly, and would love to coach again.
Well,
he sounded like all year, and again, this is just taking context clues from the way he talked about coaching and the way he answered questions when we asked him directly about it. A guy that's not done coaching. A guy that, given the right opportunity, will be coaching again.
Well, if you can get him back, get him back. That's the easy answer right there. Still living here. And knows the personnel.
Well, if they
a great degree of the personnel.
If they never lost him, I think this team is still playing right now.
I don't know if they can get him back. I don't know if they want him back. We don't know that end of it. We don't know that end of it. But I do think he misses coaching tremendously.
Well, someone's going to want him. He's too good that if he's interested in coaching, someone's going
to
hire him.
You've also got to accommodate him to a degree, like scheduling wise, things like that. You know, shorten the day. You know, adjust the meeting schedule.
Yeah, there's no midnight.
Right.
Midnight game plan adjustments.
Right. Or you're making those midnight game plan adjustments with him not being a part of that meeting. So are you willing to do that? I mean,
well, see, I think with him,
good terms.
It's his defense. Like you're not having a game plan adjustment unless he's in the meeting with you.
Right. And he's head coach defense
right.
In most places. You know, he and Vrabel are tight. So I don't see why you wouldn't make it work again if you could have him.
Coming up.
Also, yeah, that would smooth things with Bowen. You know, if Mike Vrabel is concerned with that, there's a way that you could smooth things with
Bowen needs to be worried about smoothing things with Mike Vrabel, not the other way around.
Well, one thing we know, they never called him during the season, the Titans.
Yeah.
Peace. I mean, he told us that. And he felt like some of the things may have been, he said the quotes to the Tennessean, but what did he say, Paul? He felt like maybe
a little bit misconstrued.
Maybe it was overemphasized on certain things, but I think he clearly misses coaching. He would, you know, I think he would consider options, and it's not to say he doesn't stay retired, but I absolutely think he would consider the right options with the right offensive-minded coach.
I don't see how Vrabel, if he's going outside, doesn't check in with Pease. Do you?
I would call him back.
I mean, it didn't end on bad terms.
You have the results.
And Vrabel is very concerned with comfort level. I mean, there's comfort level there.
Yep.
No more comfort. He's not going to be more comfortable with anybody than he is with Pease.
He's got a big buyout with our show, though.
That's right.
He's got a Butch Jones level buyout with us.
Right. We will hold him to that.
615-737-1045. Our number, Torrey Holt, is on the show. He joins us today at 12:15. More of your phone calls, headlines, and hockey returns tonight, believe it or not.
I've been counting it down.
Midday on Eddie, delivered by Edley's Barbecue.